So you and I, this podcast has been going really well for us, and it was kind of an unintended consequence. You know, we got on Twitch, we signed a syndication deal, we were like, we're doing radio. And then suddenly this podcast started blowing up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting press in People, we're getting press in Page Six, we're getting press in Entertainment Tonight and The Insider and all this kind of stuff. And people are paying attention to podcasts that are good and podcasts that are interesting. And you and I seem to be on that radar. So, you know, my agent has been like, you know, talking about our next radio job. So in our industry, there's a prep service, and it's kind of like a very inside baseball thing where people get a chance. Part of the prep service is people basically tell each other radio secrets, like, here's something that worked really well on our show, you guys should do it. Mm-hmm. Or I had this problem with my program director, how do I handle it, he's such a dick, you know, that kind of thing. And it's really just between, it's just between us guys, us kids, you know. So today I'm reading this thing and I was like, whoa, this is kind of surprising, because this guy put his name on it and he put it out there and he said, you know, I got to ask again, which means this has been a regular conversation he's been having. He's been seeing his radio show losing to podcasting over and over and over. Mm. So the headline is, can radio learn from podcasting? And he said, one of the reasons podcasting is huge is because of all the production and storytelling. Theater of the Mind was started on radio, but radio has abandoned that for quick breaks, phone calls, phony bits with bad actors and too many commercials and music that can be found anywhere. Mm-hmm. And he goes on for quite a while going into each one of these things. But and he's talking about how jealous he is. He's like, I'm in awe and I'm jealous because my friends that are podcasting are doing way better and can tell stories and can talk about stuff. And the more he talked about it, the more I realized, you know, you and I were doing Top 40 Radio. In an hour, we would talk for, if we're lucky, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there. We had to tell a story real quick, get in, get out. And then we would play 9 Ed Sheeran songs that nobody wanted back to hear. Back. Yeah, back to back that like literally nobody wanted to hear.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that you and I have always done in our past, we were probably really at the cutting edge of this many, many years ago. When we first started doing syndication, we were doing talk and music, but it was mostly talk. We'd play like 3 songs an hour, 4 mm. sometimes, you know, but it was all storytelling. It was all like theater of the mind. It was all like connecting with an audience. We took a lot of calls. We heard their stories. They heard our stories. It was just like listening to a bunch of friends on one of those call lines from the 90s. Remember, mm. like a party line. It felt like a party line, you know, a lot of times, like when you and I were doing the show in like the mid 2000s. And the more we started doing radio, the less we were allowed to talk. You can do a quick, like, Kim and Kanye broke up, here's another Ed Sheeran song, you mm. know, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity. And I remember when you and I first got there, they sat down with us and they said, okay, so your show, we have all these prep services. How many actors do you need? Mm. And I was like, what? How many what? Do we what? Like, I didn't even understand what she was saying. She said, how many actors do you need? I was like, actors for what? Like,
for call-in topics.
No, but I didn't know what she meant. I was like, are we doing a theater piece? Am I, because I, you know, I have a background in theater. So I was like, is this a joke? Am I directing something? Like, what are we doing? Apparently, they had a service. All of their callers were actors. Mm. That they had a service and the people would call in and pretend, hi, Anthony and Cooper, I love your show so much. Anthony, I totally agree with you because, you know, Cooper, you're just wrong. It's like, but people don't talk like that. So we were like, we don't need actors. We have callers. Well, then who's going to be the caller? The
your
caller.
Audience.
The listener, the audience. We're doing a live show. And we didn't realize the show we replaced was 100% recorded. They recorded the whole thing the day before. Mm. So like if a celebrity died, they were 2 days before they'd say it because they would record it the day before. A whole bunch of stuff would happen. And then they'd get back on the air like 2 days later. And they had all these actors pretending to be callers. And it's so obvious. You know what I mean? Like everyone's so genuine now and relatable. Like when you go to YouTube, people are just talking to a microphone and telling you about their day or what happened or something that pissed them off, you know? So, you know, when someone's like, hi, oh, that's, I love your topic. You guys are so good. It's so obvious.
Well, all the stations that you see phone scams and things like that, it comes in, it used to come in on a CD. Now it just comes in over the internet. So if you, right, if you want a phone scam topic for that day, you just, they actually even send you an email of what to say. So right, I say this, and the fake caller says this, and then they even write it out for you. So you don't even have to come up with it.
Right. And then that's why if you listen to similar stations around the country, if you suddenly like got on an airplane and flew from city to city, you would hear the same phone scam over and over with the exact same verbiage and the exact same thing, because that was the service giving you the daily phone scam that 500 stations around the country were doing the exact same thing, except with their actor.
And if you listen close, like War of the Roses. Mm-hmm. Stations do that. So if you listen to War of the Roses, the actor will have an accent. There's no New York accent. There's no Southern accent. It's just a typical American accent. So right, they can put it in any station in the country. So that's how you can tell it's fake. When you play 10 commercials back to back and music that you can find anywhere else, radio's screwing itself.
Yeah.
So no wonder why people are looking for content somewhere else and they're right, finding it on podcasts.
Right. And he's saying, you know, he doesn't get the opportunity to actually tell a story anymore because he has to be out in a certain amount of time. And mm-hmm, they've given him so much copy to read that takes up a lot of it, you know. And so some of the comments back is people were like, yeah, you know, I used to do segments with a lot of sound effects and tracks, and I told a story over them, and it was really fun. And it was almost like Serial or some of those podcasts that, you know, they mentioned in this Radio Lab, whatever. He's like, yeah, I mean, podcast isn't so much about the production value. It's the fact you can listen to them on your own time and somebody's talking directly to you.
Well, and they're not kicking off every hour talking about Touch a Truck.
Right.
Because we have to work in Touch a Truck to our 8 o'clock hour, which we have to get calls and do content, but no, we have to talk about Summer Jam for the 18,000th time.
Right.
No, radio right, screwed itself. So
yeah,
people are looking for something different, and
right,
we're doing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel really happy that the unintended consequences of us doing our syndicated radio show ended up you and I doing this podcast. And it feels like when we first started doing radio, we were allowed to just get on and talk, and there was nobody telling you what to say, what not to say, how many times an hour to say this. That was the best thing. I mean, once in a while we would do a contest. We did it our way. It wasn't like we were given copy points or how to do it or how to say it. It was total freedom.
The study came out today. 47% of people pay for an audio service. So they pay for Spotify or Sirius. They pay for a different service.
Yeah.
That means 50% of people aren't listening to radio.
Right.
They're listening to something they have to pay for. That's how bad it is.
Right. Well, it's not that much money. I mean, how much, you know, Spotify isn't that much money.
It's 10 bucks a month, but
yeah, it's not very much.
You don't have to listen to commercials and shit DJs.
I get to choose what I want to hear and when I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
That's there's a lot of that. And remember, like now, because of COVID, no one's in their cars. Everyone's working from home. I've got friends in major companies. I mean, major, major companies that had these buildings with the name of the company on it. And they're all like, no, you guys have been doing great working from home. Just stay there. We're going to get rid of this building. We're going to get rid of this office. We're going to turn this into, you know, whatever, quicksand, anything else.
A parking lot,
you know, something that's actually going to make us money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not in your car, I mean, you and I did morning radio for a long time. We thrived on people that were stuck in traffic, especially on Long Island, where there was so much traffic, being forced to friggin' listen to us. We were the only game in town, you know?
Right. But now it's so different.
No one's in their cars. Nobody's doing their regular commute. I hear it from my radio friends all the time. They're like, we throw out a topic and the phone does not ring.